Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Some thoughts now here at the end of the hour about dark matter. But it's not anything to do with physics. And this dark matter is well known. It's been detected. Everybody knows about it. Black carbon, the solid components of soot or smoke, comes from the burning of fossil fuels, coal, diesel, comes from forest fires, comes from cook stoves all over the world. Scientists believe black carbon is second only to carbon dioxide gas as a contributor to climate change. Tammy Bond is an environmental engineer and a professor at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. Earlier this month, she was named a MacArthur Fellow for her research unraveling the effects of black carbon in the atmosphere. Tammy Bond, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's talk first about your research. Black soot is pieces of carbon, like little pieces of coal and dirt in the atmosphere, and you're looking at it as particulates, or are you looking at it more in a chemical basis?
It is carbon that comes through the flame and arranges itself into the most amazing little structures. So it looks graphitic, but it's also in particles. So it's not pieces of the original fuel anymore. It is its own thing that only happens when it's very hot.
And what does it do when it gets into the atmosphere? Because I suspect it does cool once it gets into the air.
Well, it stays as a particle that's actually very resistant to being reacted or burned. And it, like most other particles, floats through the atmosphere. It interacts with clouds. And because it's black and interacts with sunlight, it absorbs sunlight just like any black thing does in the sunlight. And that radiation turns into heat that then heats the atmosphere.
And the MacArthur Award is really for your work in trying to get a scientific research body of knowledge applied to a source of black soot, which is not necessarily in the industrialized world. It's all over the world in cook stoves, in fires, in the developing world. It's an impact that is worldwide. Explain how your research might have an impact on people not in the industrialized world.
Well, one of the interesting things when you start making global models of soot or black carbon is that you have to look at everything. And a lot of the studies on emissions that have been done were focused in the industrialized world because they're large there. And when we started asking questions about where exactly does this material come from, we realized that there were a lot of things that had never been measured because they're not here. So we had to go to places abroad, measure cooking stove, we've measured brick kilns, we've measured diesel engines, and it turns out that the larger sources of black carbon right now are in the developing world. They've not yet gone through this fantastic transition that the U.S. did several decades ago, where everything was dirty and then we learned how to clean it up.
So as an environmental engineer, are there fixes? Are there remediations? Are there devices that can be put onto some of these brick kilns and wood stoves? And how would you go about actually making an impact in the developing world on all of these little sources?
Well, they're little and they're extremely numerous, and the fixes are both technical and non-technical. There are solutions in the developed world. We call them clean fuels. There are also things that you can do to make brick kilns burn cleaner, for example. And I don't think there's a magic silver bullet. The interesting thing about this challenge is that there are many solutions, and you have to look at each situation and figure out which one is appropriate.
Engineers love to design the really high-tech solution. In many ways, these solutions are low-tech. They have to be simple. They have to be understood by the people who are going to apply them. What kind of an engineering challenge is that? And it might not be your challenge, but someone's going to have to take it up.
I completely agree. And this is one of the really exciting things. I think that engineers can design anything given a set of constraints. So one of the things we have to do first is understand what the constraints are, and they're different in every place, whether it be rural, peri-urban, or urban. I also think that we'd like to believe that low-tech solutions can work, and in some cases they can. But in some cases, we also have to understand that we need to inject a little bit of bringing up the technology and also bringing the understanding to people on the ground.
So the investment is upgrading the cook stoves that are on the ground as well as cleaning them up with low-tech solutions that will take care of what's coming out of the stack.
I would say low-tech or medium-tech. There are things that we know about combustion that simply need to be taught to the people that are designing stoves in these countries. And there's also a component of bringing cleaner fuels farther out to rural areas. That's how we solve the problem, after all.
So you've won the MacArthur, right?
Right.
I suspect you're not going to Disneyland.
I hadn't thought of that, no. Of course, everybody wants to know what I'm going to do with the money, including myself. I think one of the things I want to do is engage a little more in listening, because it opened up a space to not do just technical work, but when I'm actually in these countries, hear what's going on. Because I think as an engineer, one of the things we need in order to get better solutions is to really understand the constraints, understand the limitations. And as a researcher, very often you're limited by the amount of time you have to spend. And so I hope that I can use some of the freedom to expand the time that I have to engage and listen and understand.
So travel. You want to travel to some places where some of these pollution problems are actually happening and see what it looks like and listen to the people there.
I do. I already travel an insane amount. And so what I'm saying is I'd like to travel less insanely and perhaps more thoughtfully.
Where's a place in the world that you'd really like to explore with the freedom that the MacArthur might give you here?
Oh, there isn't a place that I don't like to explore. I work very closely with people in Nepal. I work closely with people in China. I love living in China. So I've been in East Asia and South Asia a lot lately.
Well, congratulations. And what do you think this does to you in terms of what's your obligation now? The MacArthurs have done this as a scientist and as a scientist who cares about the Earth. What's your responsibility now to justify this award? Do you have any feeling like that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. My first reaction was to just say, well, I'm just going to plow it back into my lab. And then I realized that it's an incredible gift, an incredible responsibility to do the things that I can see that need to be done that couldn't otherwise get done.
Oh, that's beautiful. Tammy Bond, environmental engineer and MacArthur Fellow. She's a professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. We want to remind everyone how you can get involved in The Takeaway, join our conversation, get an early jump on all of what we talk about, be a part of our listener response network. You can sign up one text a day. We ask you a question featured on the next day's program. Your voice becomes part of the on-air conversation. All you do is text the word START to 69866. That's START to 69866. Messaging and data rates may apply, and you can reply STOP to opt out. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to everyone at the studios of WILL in Champaign, Illinois, for hosting us these past 2 days. I'm John Huckenberry, back in New York tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.